Hi, welcome back to Women Making Moves, where we celebrate the moves that women are making. My name is Amy Pons, founder of Unlock the Magic Coaching, Marketing, and Healing. I'm joined today with Melissa Squeers. Melissa is the CEO and founder of Crexology Marketing. Crexology provides strategic brand and marketing fractional consulting services for businesses looking to build, refresh, or reshape their marketing strategies for accelerated growth. Melissa is a brand strategy and marketing communications leader with nearly 20 years of experience. She is a creative problem solver, obsessed with finding all the pieces to the puzzle and figuring out how to make them fit in a simple and clean way. She has built numerous brand and marketing strategies to improve brand awareness, product differentiation, and customer experience for both B2B and B2C companies. Melissa has experience across a variety of environments, from specialty packaging design firms to the wild world of advertising agencies to conservative global corporations. The breadth of her experience gives her a unique perspective and ability to uncover issues and strategic solutions to drive business forward. Melissa, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Amy. Good to be here.
It's fun to go out on your own, yeah?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely been quite the journey. It's also been fun to have you kind of along to help me.
To be like, when we have days, I mean, one of the things that I'm excited to talk to you about today is, depending on where you're at or like how comfortable you are as an entrepreneur is how much you kind of share out in the wild. And there are some days still, like some days I am moving and grooving. Yeah. My energy and vibes are so high, nothing can stop me. And then there's days where like I just want to go and hide under covers.
Exactly. I think there's definitely those days where you're like, I can totally do this. This isn't, gonna be as difficult as I thought. And then there are days where you're like, what the hell was I thinking?
Well, because like for me, it was like I've always had these quote unquote big brands behind my name. Well, now it's Amy Pond's Unlock the Magic. The value and the power and the magic is me. And oh, by the way, it was always me in those big brands. So how cool is it that it's all in my energy space now? And oh, by the way, it's only me. So when things are exciting, it's awesome. And when things don't go as planned or as wanted, rather, because we talk about energy a lot, you can't, there's no one really to turn to.
For sure. And I think that there's a huge value, and I think you and I have talked about this. There's huge value in building a community of fellow entrepreneurs around you. I think for that reason, because whenever, and I'm sure you experience this too, but whenever I'm talking to somebody who is not doing this and they're like, so how are things going? And you're like, how do I answer that question? And so I think that there's huge value in having that support system to, cry to when you're like, God, this sucks and this is not working well today. But also those people who will celebrate you because they know how freaking hard it was for you to get that victory when you do get those victories.
Yeah. This is where I will hesitate or pause when like setting goals for my business. I don't like not set goals, but at the same time, when you set a goal, it can become an expectation and then you feel beholden. So then if it doesn't happen, you completely crumble. That's not where I'm trying to move. So it's like setting the intention or the energy of like, I'm going to meet new people this month. That's awesome. A lot of the mainstream patriarchal business will tell you you can't sustain on that. And I would challenge, is that true?
Yeah, or why? Or why not?
Why not? Because I tell you this, like as an energy coach and a healer, I know, and I've seen what happens when you align your energy to trust your intentions. When you do that, that's actually the only thing you have to do to be quote unquote successful based on your success criteria.
Yeah, and I think there's a place for having goals. And there has to be a place for giving yourself grace when maybe you don't hit those in the way that you intended, or maybe you fall short of it, or you have to give the space for it to evolve. Because in entrepreneurship, I mean, half of what I'm doing, and I'm sure you feel the same way, even though I know you're a year ahead of me in this entrepreneurial journey, like half of this journey is the trials and tribulations of, oh, I think I could do that, or I think that could be really great. I think that client is going to sign with me, and then things will take a sharp left turn that you were not expecting that could completely derail that goal. And I think the flexibility and the grace has to be there in order to maneuver within this entrepreneurial world.
I agree. Because imagine the energy if you were to set out every day and say, I have to make X or do X, otherwise I failed. Ooh.
That's a lot of pressure.
There is no space. And for me, like I'll say that probably right out of corporate, I probably set those on myself because it's the only thing I knew. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. Well, I wasn't taking a step back and setting the intention. It's like, how do I want to feel every day? Because, oh, by the way, being an entrepreneur, it's not just about making money and running your business. How do you want to feel each day? Do you want to have time to have a full hour lunch break? What time do you want to start every day? What time do you want to end every day? Like, there's so much more to take into account. And something that my husband and I will talk about quite often is because I felt beholden and that my value was only around the title and money for 20 years, I underestimate some days how amazing it is that I feel okay and safe now.
I would agree. And I think it's, you know, similarly, I spent the last 20 years, same thing, trying to climb the corporate ladder to the point where I felt like my sole focus and my success or failure or my ability to be happy or unhappy was directly tied to that performance in my career. And I think in doing that, I actually ended up driving myself to burnout and making myself sick because that's what my focus was. And so it's almost like I'm now having to reprogram myself. And I'm sure you're having to do the same thing, like deprogram all of that corporate thought process that's been ingrained in you for 20 years and reprogramming your brain to be focused on your health, being focused on balance and what success looks like, because it doesn't have to be just the dollars and cents.
Mm-mm. Honestly, it can't just be the dollars and cents.
No.
As we create the new way of working, living, being, and it gets to be more than that. And there's so many life experiences unfolding, especially for women as we reach a certain age where we might say, oh, I noticed that I'm starting to give less fucks these days. There's actually something happening chemically in our brains, in our bodies, as we prepare for perimenopause, menopause, that starts to shift our thinking and feeling into prioritizing what's important, what feels good every day. And I actually feel mine started probably around 35, where I started to get a little bit antsy about, okay, I'm making the dollars. I have the big titles. I'm the head of this, that, and the other thing. And I don't feel like I'm having any impact on humanity. That was a really, really big, tough pill to swallow. So what I chose to do was to start like really binge drinking alcohol to kind of numb that, what that was coming up in me. And not until I turned 40 did I give myself the grace, permission, and space to say, okay, what is ringing my doorbell? What is trying to get my attention? What is that? And beautifully now I know I'm a healer and a warrior. Cool. That gets to show up in different ways every day. Sometimes it's leveraging my 20 years marketing experience. But what's most awesome about that is that I get to pair that with, okay, patriarchal marketing says that we have to do it X, Y, and Z way. What do you, soul being in front of me, feel like doing today? And if it's not posting something, don't do it.
Yes, absolutely. Honestly, like earlier, I think early on when you and I were having conversations, that was one of the things that you were like, you know what, if you're not feeling like the writing is just coming to you naturally or the creativity isn't there today, save it for another day. And I have held on to that so much because there are days where I'm just like, these words are just not going to flow. And it's not meant to be. But going back to what you were saying, I was very much in the same thing of like, I want to say probably like 35, 36, somewhere in that age range, I was very much hitting a point of I don't know that I want to be making brochures for the rest of my life for products that I don't know that they're actually helping people, and that I know that the customers 9 times out of 10 are literally throwing away the minute that somebody walks out the door that handed it to them. And I was like, is this really the best way to spend my life? And I remember at the time I was having conversations with my then boss, and I said to him just that, I don't know, like, should I be continuing on this path? Because I really don't think I want to be 20 years from now making fucking brochures. Like, it's literally depressing to think about it sometimes that way, right? So I kept staying on the ladder at the time because I just didn't know what to do or how to handle it or how to think through it. And I think a lot of it was coming from a place of fear because, like you said, you know, you've spent this time building that pedigree and building that experience and getting up the ladder and making a reasonable amount of money and being able to pay off the student loans and all of those other things. And so you're like, well, I can't come off the ladder because it took me forever to get here, but I fucking hate the ladder. Like, it's terrible. And so, you know, it honestly took me completely burning out and breaking down last year to actually give myself the permission at 40, like you said, to sit back and be like, this no longer serves me. And this is not the best path forward for me anymore. It may have worked for a time, but now we've got to rethink things and reprioritize things and figure out what is going to work moving forward.
Kudos to you because it's not easy to get started. And for me, like, I literally went from the ladder and jumped into the pool. Like,
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think I had like 3 months of FMLA in there where it was like, okay, I'm gonna actually like fix my body a little bit. And then it was like I just jumped off the deep end. And like ever since then, every entrepreneur that I've talked to, they're like, so normally when you do this, you should like make it a side gig or a side hustle and then gradually walk away from corporate so that you're not screwed trying to do it. And I was like, nope, I'm gonna do the exact opposite of that because that's just how I do things. And I just took a flying leap and I was like, I will figure out how to fly as I go. Like it is what it is, and we'll just sort it out. And I know that I am lucky, and I know you are lucky that we have spouses who are incredibly supportive of that. We've got that sort of safety net. And I know that there are a lot of folks out there that don't have that safety net out there to be able to do those things. But I think being able to do that has been life-changing for me, but I think also in many ways life-saving for me.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here today physically had I kept going up the ladder. I was out on the high dive by myself, and everything that I hold dear to me was not there with me. So
Yeah.
had I stayed there, I just wouldn't be here. So I jumped in the pool, and interestingly, even though we have two incomes, we quickly realized how our lifestyle was asking more of us, like, immediately. So I actually closed my 401k to keep our lifestyle the way we had wanted it in the first year of my entrepreneurship. Second year of entrepreneurship, I was like, oh, wait, do I need or want all of this stuff or that extra stuff in life? My priorities have shifted there as well. So now it's like, what does it really take for my home and, like, my pups and my husband and I to have enough? It's like figuring out, for me, figuring out what enough looks like and being so damn grateful for that enoughness.
Absolutely. I think similarly, when I decided I was going to open Cruxology, and honestly, my husband had a lot of influence on it in terms of encouraging me to do it because he was taking a look at me last fall and I was a hot mess. And he was like, this is not working. Like, you got to get off the ladder. I think you need to be your own boss and figure out what that means to you. And so his encouragement was there, but he was also like, financially, I got you. Don't worry about it. We will figure it out. He and his whole family are insanely good with saving money and doing all those types of things, far better than what my family or what my upbringing had. But they're so good with money that he was like, I've got it. Don't worry about it. Now, in full transparency, we thought that I was going to be getting really up and running in like 3 to 4 months. Boy, was that wrong. It definitely took a lot longer than that. And so he had to carry us for quite a bit longer than we were expecting. But he gave me that freedom so that we could figure out what that means and what that looks like. And we did make some of those choices. Not as many vacations. We used to vacation all the time. Not spending money as extravagantly on going out to dinner. We eat at home all the time. The things where we were wasting our money, or not wasting our money, but we were spending that extra expendable income. We just shifted what that looks like and what that means for us so that we could stay afloat longer until I got up and running. And it's just all about shifting those priorities and honestly having the, I guess, I don't want to say guts, but having the willingness to do that because it is scary. It is hard, really hard. But I think that that's what worked best for us. And that's what we needed to do to make it happen.
Pretty similar. And it's not that we don't value like a good vacay, but I also learned from my first year in business that the universe, who I've subscribed to is universe, spirit guides, energy that we sense beyond the five senses. I'm very in tune with that. And what was interesting is that every time I would earn money in my first year, it would be like, boom, let's go do something. Let's do something to our house. Let's take a trip. So it'd be like that instant. And like my guides in the universe were like, okay,
Here
let's,
comes the lesson.
here comes the lesson. Right, exactly. And so beautifully, they paused my business for about 6 months. I was like, oh, okay. And it took me a little bit, like my second year now this year, like when I set intentions through the moon ceremonies that I hold, a lot of it is around universe, may we co-create abundance so that I can sustain what I already have.
Yes.
And the universe has been co-creating with me since I've set that intention because they're like, okay, now she gets what we're trying to do here. So we're still setting an intention to take a vacation at some point, a trip. Great. And the world's a little bit on fire. So it's like, okay, there's a lot to do here at home daily just to feel safe and okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What you excited about? What's coming up for you?
I think for me, the things that I'm really excited about right now, and just kind of building off of what we were just talking about, is being almost a year into this, saying fuck convention and figuring out what my own path looks like. I think it's given me time, one, to heal physically and emotionally and get myself to a place of being even keeled, which is huge. But I think you and I had talked about this a little bit this past summer, but at some point this summer, with that space and time, I really came to this place of almost like an epiphany of realizing that what my path is going to be moving forward, or what I need my path to be moving forward, is not on a conventional trajectory, if you will. And I'm realizing it's one of those things as I take a step back. I'm a businesswoman. I have, again, been in business for 20 years, right? Supporting various businesses. And it's funny because I started looking at my business and my income as you would any other business. Because if you think about it, your career is your business, right? Whether you're working for a corporation or you are an entrepreneur or whatever you're doing, whatever your career path looks like, that is your actual business. And when I think about businesses that are doing well or that are successful and are stable, it's because they have diverse portfolios and diverse offerings available. If they had just one thing that they were offering and were solely focused on that one thing and that fails, they would go under, right? So that's why you generally don't see a lot of businesses putting all their eggs in a singular basket. Same thing for if you're working for a corporation, you get laid off. You're fucked, right? Like, if all your eggs are in that basket, all of a sudden you don't have a job. And in this job market right now, as a marketer or as anybody in a corporate role, it is freaking hard to find another job. And all of a sudden you're stuck scrambling because you don't have any source of income coming in, right? So I looked back and I was like, the number of times I was working in agencies where like 80% of their business was engaged with a single client. And that client inevitably fired them because that's what happens in agencies. Clients decide that you're charging too much. They're not getting the return on their investment, whatever it is. Some new leader comes in. They want their agencies, not you. So they'll fire the agency. Well, all the eggs would be in that one basket for that agency. The agency went belly up. I saw it 3 or 4 times. And even then I was like, why would you put all your eggs in one basket? And then I sat there and I was like, holy shit, I've been doing this to myself the entire time.
Oh, I've been doing this. Oh, shit.
Oh shit, like
That's
I'm doing it to myself.
the only way we were taught. The way you call it is conventional. I'm gonna be a little radical here. The conventional way, quote unquote, for me is the systems rooted in patriarchy, white supremacy, colonialism, capitalism only. And so for me, creating the balance between the divine feminine, divine masculine is there's not going to be ever again one way that I earn abundance, not just money, abundance. So that means my health, my well-being, my ability to start and stop a day when I want to, not feel beholden to any specific outcome. Even in my business, I don't tie myself to outcomes. I have vibe checks every day with potential folks that I would serve. I don't tie myself to that. It's like, great, we had a vibe check. And what happens from here? It's either for a reason or a season or a lesson or a something. It gets to be that.
Exactly.
Ooh, the peace.
Oh, the peace that comes with it. And yeah, I completely agree. I think it's ingrained in us. You are supposed to do well in school, go to college. With my family, it was you have to go to a notable college, whatever the fuck that means. You have to get on the corporate ladder. You have to climb that ladder. You have to get married at a certain age. You're supposed to get married. You have to, have 2.5 kids and for whatever the average is these days, and buy the house with the picket fence and all of that stuff that you are supposed to do. And there are lots of people that that's the life they want, and that's wonderful. You do you. I'm happy for you. There is no judgment there. But for me, I've never really gone exactly on that path, with the exception of my career. And I think that now that I'm not doing that with my career, it's been so freeing and so eye-opening. And so, coming up for me, going back to your original question, as I yammer on,
No,
going,
as I did too.
yeah, is this is manifesting for me in terms of building out different aspects of what my portfolio looks like. So, yes, I have Cruxology marketing, and that is the main part of my business portfolio. It's what I've spent 20 years doing. I love building strategies. I love helping businesses figure out what is the business strategy and how that attaches to the brand and the marketing strategy. Those are all things that I still love doing. I just hated the actual ladder itself. So I want to keep doing that, but I'm also building out an Etsy store to maintain the creative side of my brain. And so I'm designing t-shirts and decorative pillows and coffee mugs and all the things that you typically find on Etsy. I'm building that out so that I can enjoy the creative side, really dig in and continue to grow my skill set in terms of learning about e-commerce. But also, my hope is that maybe that'll become a longer term, more consistent revenue stream. I don't know if it will. We'll see. I'm a woodworker. I enjoy doing woodworking. And so I started exploring, like, I've been taking classes for a while, but now I'm starting to explore kind of a small venture of like furniture flipping. So buying furniture at estate sales or things like that, refurbishing it and kind of flipping it, modernizing it, and then seeing if I can sell it for a profit. It may not, but I'm having fun doing it.
Imagine, Melissa, had you stayed in the space where gotta get back-to-back clients so that you keep doing more of the same of what you did in the old way.
Exactly.
It was such a gift that neither of us had back-to-back clients like from the jump. We would
Yeah.
have never experienced all of these other things, frankly, from our second chakra. I'm a chakra healer. That's one of the things that I felt into creating Unlock the Magic. Had we had yours is marketing, mine's coaching, like at the core of our business, had we had back to back everything all day, every day, never would we have had space to feel into not only the new way that we're creating business, but also these other aspects that could be cool in the long run.
Exactly.
And you've inspired me to start a store. It gets to be all of that. I love what you said. Something that really came in for me when you were talking about, if you look at any corporate business, they diversify. I worked at Discover Card and they had a card, but then they had personal loans, student loans, Home loans, they had a network, they diversified. Everybody does. So, like, for instance, when someone asks us what we do now, well, I like to call myself a social impact entrepreneur. I'm going to do stuff that's going to benefit humanity, no matter what that looks like.
I think that also leaves you the space to evolve with that in whatever way makes sense. Because I think if you were just specifically saying, I am a coach and this is the only thing I do, it's not the only thing you do. You're doing things based on what is happening in real time and what people need. And, you spoke about vibe checks. You're adjusting based on what you're seeing is a need out there. And having that mentality around it gives you the space to be able to do that. So yeah, I mean, I think once I had that epiphany this last summer and started realizing it, I was like, no, this is actually perfect because I can literally try anything I want to do. Who knows? It may be a thing where 10 years from now, I'm not doing a single thing with marketing and I have nothing to do with it. Like right now, I'm actually, I think I was telling you this, I just got my substitute teaching license so that I, with Illinois, so I can be a substitute teacher in Chicago public schools. Am I very experienced with children? God, no. My husband's the teacher. He's great with kids. I could be the worst substitute teacher in the history of the world, but I'm getting to learn about it and I'm getting to see if that's something that fills my cup and if that's something that I enjoy because there's huge value in being able to help the next generation grow and be positive influences on society. So I'm looking at that and seeing what that is. And I'm sure that there's going to be some hilarious stories that come out of that. And I'm going to learn a ton in the process. And, it's going to be a fun experiment. But these are all things that I never in a million years would have considered doing a year ago or even 2 years ago. Well, even really like when you and I talked probably in January or February when I had first launched and I was literally a deer in headlights, terrified. And you were like, so let's talk.
Let's connect.
Let's
Hi.
connect. Hi, you need to breathe. But I never would have explored those things if I hadn't taken a step back to realize that. And I think that that's the coolest part. And so that's really what I'm focused on right now is just exploring and figuring out what my path is going to be and where it's going to take me.
I'm so proud of you and happy for you. You have the audacity. You have the audacity to co-create anything that you feel is in your aligned energy field from now until forever.
And how cool is that? It's one of those things like do I wish I would have figured that out like 10 years ago? Sure. But what a cool way to spend my 40s, right?
It's so cool. And I have to tell you, over the past week, when I've been riding the wave of every emotion known to humanity, the thing that's giving me peace and calm is getting into editing Women Making Moves and amplifying women's voices, talking about how Black women once again led the charge.
And once again, we're disappointed.
Once again, they were disappointed. So giving Black women space all over my socials, like amplifying them, like letting people know it's okay not to be okay or feel whatever you want to feel. I say all of that because the last time this outcome emerged, I was still in corporate. And I remember being at the office the next day and I couldn't stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, running to the bathroom to cry. I was not at all fucking okay. And I had to just power through and go to all my meetings and do my work because there was no space. These days, this time, allowing so much space and grace for myself, and whether it be through Women Making Moves, my coaching, the women I serve, that has been a really amazing source of healing. That has been an amazing source of processing over the past week.
And comfort
Yeah.
in terrifying. Yeah.
Comfort. Yeah.
Yeah. I
Because
would
I don't
agree.
feel forced. I don't feel beholden to put a mask on, which I did last time.
Yeah, I would agree. I think last time, in 2016, I was still working in, it was the last ad agency that I worked in before I went to the corporate side. And I remember the results came in, and, agencies are notoriously ruthless. They do not care about people. They care about billable hours. And I remember so many of the women, we were all just in shock, like absolute shock that Hillary Clinton didn't win. And I just remember it was like, you have to suck it up and you can't feel your feelings because it's not billable. was the feeling, like you have to get back to the billable work. And I distinctly remember I had like a senior leader, it was actually a woman, who she was just like, well, it would have been crap no matter what happened, so you just need to get over it and get back to work. And if that doesn't describe our society and the expectations placed on people and employees to not feel human feelings, like that is the epitome of it right there. This time around, I gave myself the space and permission the next day to just cry off and on all day. And I purposely didn't have meetings that day. And I just took the space. I did minimal things or things that gave me the room and the space to be able to do that, but I didn't try to lock it down in the way that I felt I had to in 2016.
Same. I want to go to a post. It seems appropriate to bring this up now because we're in this vibe. And not so fun fact. Did you know that women and men are equally as likely to suffer from a heart attack, but women are far more likely to die from a heart attack? In case you're curious as to why, there are obviously a variety of factors that go into any individual case, but on a macro level, women have different symptoms than men. And guess who wasn't included in cardiac research until it was mandated in 1993 by NIH? Women. So this is something I feel like you and I've talked about quite a bit. And on Women Making Moves, this recurring theme of women not being added to research until 93 is so critical, especially as you and I talk about in this moment of being women in our 40s. We're in the beginning stages of perimenopause, which, for those who don't know, estrogen is one of the main hormones in women that keeps our heart safe. So as we head into perimenopause and the estrogen declines, that's why part of the reason more women die from heart disease. And further to your point, from a recent episode with Women Making Moves, Hiba Siddiqui talks about what presents itself in men from a cardiac episode, which is chest tightness and pain in the left arm, actually can present in women as indigestion and tummy issues, which perfectly coincide with our periods. So, of course, we're going to like push it aside. We're like, oh, it's just our period. So, tell me more about this post, why you feel passionate about it, and what's up.
Yes, no, thank you. I'm so glad you chose this one. So, most of my career, I have worked in healthcare, whether it was healthcare or pharmaceutical advertising, which is a whole can of worms in itself, or in medical devices, which is also a whole can of worms in itself. Where I want to move forward in the marketing aspect of my business is really focused on women's health in particular. And the reason that I am so passionate about it is things like this. We as women have completely different anatomy, completely different biological needs. We have different hormone patterns. Our reproductive cycles are completely different than men's. Everything for us physiologically is different, but we have been completely removed from or ignored in the equation from a healthcare perspective for forever, to the detriment of women's health. And it shows up in the fact that with this particular post, heart attacks, they present completely differently in women. It also presents in the fact, or it manifests in the fact, that when a woman goes to the hospital and presents with that stomach ache or that indigestion, they are often not listened to, dismissed, and sent home. And therefore, it goes undetected and it actually has longer term ramifications for them. And that is just as it pertains to heart attacks. This is the same issue when women go into labor. God knows how many stories and horrifying stories out there about women who are having issues during a pregnancy that are completely dismissed and sent home, and it ends up, they go septic and they die, and just crazy shit that happens to women with our healthcare system. And so I am very passionate about shifting the conversation and shifting the focus around women's health, and ensuring that companies that are focused on women's health are getting visibility and getting that spotlight so that they can help to make those changes and help women feel better, be healthier, and get the research that we deserve as women in this culture. We make up more than 50% of the population, yet none of the research involves us. And it drives me batty, batshit crazy with the injustice of it. But I also see it as an opportunity to do something good with the healthcare experience that I have and the expertise that I can bring to the table to help drive it forward in a more positive way. And so with my posts, I tend to do a post every 2 to 3 weeks highlighting a company that is typically focused on women's health or femtech in general for that reason, because even if it's just a thing where one person in my network sees that post, learns about it, that's one more person that has that education and that understanding of what our reality is for women. Or it's that one person that maybe has connections with a venture capital company or something that can get these female-led companies funding so that they can further the research and grow their company and help support women's health that way. And so that's really my goal with these posts, but obviously I'm extremely passionate about it. And I have so many different thoughts in terms of women's health and just the challenges that we face and the opportunities that there are for us to vastly improve it.
Do we know yet if the money that Dr. Jill Biden found and allocated for women's health research, will that go away with the new administration, or was that already invested?
You know, I had the same question, and I'm not entirely sure at this point. I hope that it was already vested, because if not, you and I both know that money will probably be gone.
Oh, it'll be gone. It'll be cut the first day. Yep.
Yeah.
So we should find that out.
Yeah. I feel like we need to find that out. I mean, I'm hopeful. I know that there are some folks within the femtech community that have been at various conferences and conventions where Jill Biden was there, Dr. Jill Biden was there. So I'm hoping that means that maybe they were benefactors of that already. I don't know.
But okay, by the time we go live, we will have found that out, and I'll put that in the post.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hopefully it's good news. Okay. As we start to wind down, Melissa, what would you say, my dear friend, Melissa, of, let's see, how long ago did we meet? A year and a half ago? That first fairway?
Yeah, it was probably like a year and a half ago. Yeah, something like that.
So Melissa, what would you say to the women who are listening to us and these, like, these women have lost their damn minds. I could not possibly do this. And they've lost their damn minds. What would you say?
We have. No, I'm just kidding.
Some days it takes losing your damn mind and getting into your heart, getting into your womb space, getting into the innate power and magic that is you as a woman.
Ooh, look at that. That just came out. I like it. I like it, Amy. Yeah, no, I think sometimes you do have to like go out of your mind a little bit to kind of find, look, there's lots of parts of the brain that we don't know a ton about, right? Male, female, whatever. I look at it as, maybe I lost my mind on one part of my brain and now I'm finding and discovering other parts of my brain, right? But to me, at the end of the day, for those who think I've lost my damn mind, maybe, but I am more focused on and more interested in who are the people that are in my corner, who are those ride or dies in my life, and who are the ones and what are the things that are going to drive me into the things that I need to be doing and that make sense for me, for my family, for my sanity, and for my health. And so I'm like, yeah, if you think I'm crazy, great, but this is what works for me. It may not work for you, and that's fine.
I would say it's like, boo boo, why are you still listening? Yeah. There's something in you. Like, there's something in you that is
intriguing. Did I trigger you?
Yeah. Did we trigger you? Because if you're feeling activated right now, that's actually a beautiful invitation to see what could be within you already. That's the whole thing.
Spoiler alert. And whatever that looks like for different people is what that looks like for different people. That's my path. That doesn't have to be your path. That doesn't have to be any other person out there listening right now. That doesn't have to be their path either. My path is naturally going to be different because I think, like I said, we have that luxury of the support of our husband. Not everybody has that same support and that luxury to be able to just jump off the high dive and see what happens. But this is what works for me. And I'm completely at peace with that. And I'm okay with that. And I think my hope would be for anybody else is figure out and take a step back to figure out what that looks like for you and what makes sense for you. I'm happy to be a sounding board for anybody that wants to think about that or figure that out, because it is definitely hard to try to traverse that and decide what you're going to do and, go on that journey. So I'm obviously there for anybody, and I know you are too. I mean, you've absolutely been there for me in this one, but I'm at peace with myself and I'm at a peaceful place of what I'm doing. And whether or not that works for somebody else doesn't matter. What does matter is them doing what's best for them, and I'm doing what's best for me.
It's not supposed to be ours for anybody else.
And it's not supposed to be singular.
No one can do what you do the way you do it. So, for those who are approaching life as a canned copy paste or autopilot approach, there will be a moment where you're like, oh, this doesn't really feel good. And it's up to you to decide how far you want to take that thread and pull on it, but it's yours, it's no one else's. So,
Exactly.
Melissa, where can we find you?
Yeah, so people can find me on LinkedIn. Melissa Squares should be pretty straightforward to find me. You can also look up any of my marketing services at cruxologymarketing.com. And then my Etsy store is cruxology.etsy.com. So if you're looking for some fun, sassy, ridiculous swag, have a look around there. And yeah, I'm here for anybody who wants to chat.
Closing remarks as we wrap up.
Thank you so much for having me on your amazing podcast. And, thank you for being an advocate for me and for being in my corner. I think you were in my corner from like the first 5 minutes of me meeting you at that first fairway dinner, and you didn't even know me. So I appreciate that. I appreciate all the support that you've given me through this entrepreneurial journey. And I'm excited to see what this conversation looks like in 5 years when we've, continued meandering on our paths.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thank you.